While you're turning over there, let me say this. The Lord brought this up to me last night. I was thinking down these lines and meditating different things. What we've been talking about, a lot of us may have to renew our mind a little bit about some of the concepts. And the church is not just a Sunday or Wednesday thing. We are a member of the church, which is his body, all the time. But now, if my hand is laying on the couch, and my arm is sitting at the kitchen table, and my nose is in the bed, are they my body? You cannot be a body unless you are, or when you are, together. That's why the Bible says we're all members, but when we assemble together, that's what the word church means, the called out ones. But then we read scripture how we're called to him and to one another for fellowship with him and fellowship with one another. So when we come together, when we assemble together, it creates a whole new thing. Then, like if my arm is at the kitchen table, this is my body. Why? Because all of my parts are here together. Now, I was thinking down the lines or about the scripture, you know, a lot of times when people hear John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that's true. But when you look up that word world, now our mind, most of the time when you hear that, thinks people and lost people. But that's not what that verse says. That word world, when you look it up, it says cosmos. Y'all know what cosmos is, right? Y'all don't know? It's everything. It's the stars, it's the moon, it's the sun, it's the earth, it's Jupiter, it's people, it's flowers, it's trees. Yeah, this is going over real well. I'm going somewhere with this. See, my mind had to be renewed because every time I would hear John 3:16, I would think Jesus died for lost people. But that's not what it says. He died for the entire world, entire universe, every animal, every tree, every bird. When you think about it, let your mind go back over there to Genesis. And it says, God did not curse man when Adam and Eve sinned. What did he pronounce the curse on? On the ground. Yeah. On the earth, right? It used to bring forth by itself. Now it's not going to. God pronounced a curse on it. Now they're going to have to work it. They're going to have to labor. Do you realize it's still under that curse? And the Bible says in Romans 8 that even the whole earth is waiting on the manifestations of the sons of God. That the whole earth is travailing, waiting on the manifestation. Why? Because it wants its full redemption too. So, just like you have to renew your mind to that Jesus didn't come to die and be buried and crucified and all that and raised from the dead for just people, but for all of his entire creation, you have to renew your mind to the things that we're talking about concerning church. When I got born again, I did not have the concept like I do now of what the church is and who the church is and the role the church is supposed to play and what she's supposed to do. See, when you refer to the church as it, that tells me a little bit you don't quite know what she is. Are you an it? No. No. I'm not an it. You're an it. Therefore, the church can't be an it. Why? The Bible refers to her as a female. We're called the bride of Christ that we're going to sit down and eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb with him. Right? So, the Bible refers to the church as female. Why? Because he's male and he's the head of the church. Right? So it takes mind renewal when we're thinking about some of these things. A lot of people, when they think about church, they think about a place or a building. According to scripture that we've already found out, church is not a place or a building. No. It's made up of people. And the Bible says that it's made up of what he calls living stones. We're stacked on top of one another. We're connected to one another. See, I'm beginning in this study. You know, you've heard that saying before, I can be a good Christian without going to church. No, you can't. You're telling me that you can be in willful disobedience and be a good Christian? And you and Jesus, just you and him, got it all worked out? No. Why? Because we're called to one another. The Bible says we are knit to one another in love, that the church is increased and built up by what every joint supplies over in Ephesians, right? Well, how can you be a good Christian if you're not having that? How can you be a good Christian if God said for us to assemble together and we're not? That tells me there's no possible way you're going to get the full nourishment of what you're supposed to without assembling together with the rest of the body, which is the church. Now, oh, that was free. Let's go to Matthew 16 here. Verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And everybody has to answer that question for themselves. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And it matters who he is to you. He must be your Savior and your Lord. He must be the only begotten Son of God, right? Born of a virgin. We have to believe it. You can't be a Christian without believing that. It says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Now notice his name is Simon Bar-Jonah. His name's not Peter. He says, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, now notice this, thou art Peter. Y'all remember Saul? He got his name changed to Paul. You become a different person. The Bible says when you accept Jesus and you get born again, that you never was before. Right? Amen. That you are born of the Spirit of God. And he changes their name. Now he's changed his name to Peter, which means a small rock. And you go on and he says, and upon this rock, talking about the revelation that he had, I'll do what? I will build my church. Jesus suffered all the things that he suffered and rose from the dead to do this. Say the mind renewal. Some of y'all just looking at me like you a cow at a new gate. Do you realize sometimes we have what they call sacred cows? Things we've thought, things we've heard, things we have believed. And how many knows if you believe wrong, you're going to talk wrong and you're going to do wrong. Why? Because that's all you know. Well, he said there, he said, I will build my church. And that is exactly what Jesus is doing today. Because the church could, nobody could be born again until after all this happened to Jesus. Right. Till he was crucified and buried and raised from the dead. Do you realize there was no church until then?
Yeah.
They couldn't be. Why? Because it is the called out, born of the Spirit of God people that makes up the church. Now, he says he's building it. He'll be building his church until he comes.
Right.
Do you realize, according to Ephesians, that he says that's why he gave the fivefold ministry?
Yes.
Let's turn over there. Zach ain't got this one because I wasn't going this direction. But let's turn over there. And he goes on and he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. Where did I tell y'all?
Ephesians.
Okay. Y'all had to help me this morning. Y'all supposed to, you know it?
Yeah.
And so that's another concept people don't have. They think they're supposed to, if they do assemble together, they think they're supposed to assemble together and do absolutely nothing. I don't find that in Scripture. Everybody has a part. If it is nothing more than you being here in person, releasing your faith. Because see, sometimes I can tell just as well when y'all are hooked up in the Spirit and releasing faith toward God through me. Y'all remember the woman that had the issue of blood 12 years? When she touched him, what happened? He said, virtue has come out of me. Do you realize when we're all in here together and everybody's in one mind and one accord and we are releasing our faith toward God to work through me or whoever the minister is at the time, I can say and do things that I don't have a clue.
Right. Exactly right.
I got it when it came out of my mouth just like everybody else did. But then there's other times that we come in and we're thinking about what we got to do for lunch. We got birthday parties to go to after church. We got practice after church. Got all kinds of things thinking about Monday and all this stuff. It don't flow as well. Why? Because all of us together in this one place is kind of like a light switch. Now there's power on that the whole time. But that power don't come through and turn this light on until you flip that switch.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with God. It's one of the reasons why we have to be assembled together. Now, can I get things off TV? Sure. But that's kind of like a vitamin. Are you telling me T.D. Jakes is really going to come over here and bury my husband if he dies? Please. I might write him a letter and he may never even see it. Do you realize how many people write him letters and things? Do you really think T.D. Jakes is going to come over here and marry you? You think T.D. Jakes is really going to come over here when he's called to be over there and teach your kids? No. That's kind of like a vitamin to believers. That's not supposed to be the full fellowship. He can't have fellowship with me. He can't come through the TV and have fellowship with me. Sure, he may write me a partner letter or another minister, Jensen Franklin or something like that. But do you understand? There can be no fellowship with them like there's fellowship with me and you.
Amen.
Now, notice here in Ephesians, I think it's 4. Yeah, verse 11. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting, that word perfecting means equipping. He says, of the saints, that would be the whole body of Christ, right? He says, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What does the Bible say the body of Christ is? She's the church. I believe it's the end of chapter 1 that it says those exact words. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, or you could call that the building up of the body of Christ. It says, till we all come in what?
Unity.
The unity of the faith, not the unity of our little doctrines. The unity of the faith in him. Notice what it says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect, the word perfect there means mature man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him and all things. This will be a continual thing until he comes or you leave here. Supposed to be. He says, which is the head, even Christ. He says, from whom, from him, whom the whole body, what?
Fitly joined together.
Fitly joined. Some at home, some at work, some on the playground.
No.
He says, together. And compacted by that which what?
Every joint
supplieth. You may think you don't have anything to supply, but just you coming together, you are supplying something. When you're not here, we miss you. When you're not here and you're normally here, we pray for you. We don't know what's going on with you. Right? Why? Because we're supposed to be together. And he goes on and he says, by which every joint supplieth, notice, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Every part. So when I'm not hooked up with those that God has placed me in, I'm lacking. And not only am I lacking, you are lacking. Why? Because I have a part. I may have a very small part, but yet I have a part that you're supposed to be getting from me, and you're not getting it. I mean, you hear people say, I'm going to go to church this morning. They ain't been in 2 months, but I'm going to go to church this morning to get my blessing. You selfish little thing, you. That is so selfish. Who are you thinking about? You. Who does the Bible tell us to think about? He says, prefer our others above ourselves, right? So if I think about you, and that's what love does, it thinks about others, then whether I feel like going and assembling or not should make no difference. Since I started teaching this, I can't tell you all the things that's happened to me physically. I just had a couple episodes this morning, got choked, had ate a piece of candy because of low blood sugar, got choked on the candy, thought I was going to die, can't breathe. And Scotty says, are you okay? I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, are you serious? I can, no, I'm not okay. I can't breathe. But I'm just saying, it's like, and I'll be okay during the week. I mean, it's only happened to me a couple times. But every Sunday morning, except, remember I told y'all about it, and y'all prayed for me the next Sunday, I didn't have nothing, no problem whatsoever. But see, I know why he don't want this out. Because this is the thing he's got to stop.
Yeah,
but Jesus said, this is the thing that he can't prevail against.
Right. Amen.
So if you can't stop her, divide her.
Right.
If you can't stop her, don't let her hear what she's supposed to be and what she's supposed to be doing.
Right.
See, just like he said, I'm going to build my church. Every single one of us are called to help him build his church. That's what it said right there, ain't it? About what every joint supplies. Well, when you see lost people, you should think building material, church building material. It'll cause you and help you to want to witness to people. If you ain't got nothing else, if Jesus don't tell you nothing to say at the time, and you just want to talk and start giving your testimony of what he did for you. The Bible says we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of our testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. The things he's done in our lives. Johnny, about the raises he's given you. How you got born again. Different things like that. How he's changed your marriages. But what he'll do is make you feel stupid. Or tell you, they don't want to hear that. Who cares if they want to hear it?
Right.
Should we really care? I had Cindy would come to my house and talk to me about Jesus and get saved. I didn't want to hear that.
Right.
Most of the time, I would try to avoid her. Why? She's light and I'm darkness, and we don't have nothing in common. But she still came. And the different times, the Lord still sent her. I'm not even serving God. And I had been praying and asking God for a baby because they told me at 18 years old that I had PCOS so bad that my testosterone levels was like the levels of a... like that. A teenage boy. A woman's not supposed to have that kind of testosterone levels. And so they told me at 18, you will never have kids. Never. But God.
Amen.
Sent somebody from the body.
Right.
I'm not in the body.
Right.
But God loves me. And I'm talking to God. Now, he ain't answering me necessarily for me, but she begins to pray for me because she knows the desire of my heart is to have a baby. And she tells other people about me and has them praying for me. And you know what God does? Lo and behold, she thinks she's got a dentist appointment down this way because she don't live down here at the time toward Cleveland or whatever. And she doesn't have a dentist appointment and she gets down there and the Lord tells her to come see me and to tell me that in 3 months I'm going to be pregnant. And said, now you begin to start rebuking the devil off of your body. Well, lo and behold, I go outside, she leaves, I go outside, I start mowing the grass, and just, I'm not even thinking. And I start binding the devil and telling him, get off of my body and all this. And sure enough, 3 months later, I find out I'm 2 months pregnant.
Yep.
What a testimony, Sandy, that is to people that can't have kids. I told one just the other day, she was on the internet, has some of the same problems, going to doctor after doctor. They keep telling her the same thing. I told her my testimony over the internet to encourage her, look, don't just look to the doctors, look to Jesus. She says she's a Christian.
Right.
But sometimes when you deal with things for a long time, it looks like there's no hope because you've been praying and doing for a long time and nothing's changing. Things are changing.
Amen.
But the Bible says how the devil comes to wear out the saints. We about wore Sandy out, bless her heart. Praying for us and talking to us and coming to see us. And us rejecting her. And don't wanna, I mean, I would hear what she's saying, but I don't want to. And we about wore her out. She told God, I'm not tired of praying for them. Do you understand how when you come across people and you feel a little prompted or whatever, have a desire to tell people things that the Lord has done for you, they need something. You may not even know they need it.
Amen.
But they need it. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. What better thing than to tell somebody how good he's been to you, and he can and will wants to be that good to you if you'll let him.
Yes. Amen.
But the devil don't want that. No. Why? Because he's trying to stop the building material. He's trying to stop Jesus from building his church. Now, it's not going to happen, But guess who is co-laborers, the Bible says, with God?
We are.
He said, if you'll be willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. Now, Jesus told the disciples, they're out doing their thing, tax collecting, fishing, all this other stuff. Jesus just comes by them and says, come follow me. Leave everything and follow me. That's the same thing he says to me and you. Leave everything and follow me. Then in one place he told them, I'll make you fishers of men. Yeah. So you leave everything and you come follow me. Yeah, but. No. That can't be no but. Can't be no but. Because see, anytime you become unwilling to help him build the church, the thing that is, the Bible says over in Ephesians, how that he nourishes and cherishes the church. Anytime we are unwilling to help him to do everything, we disqualified ourselves from anything. Because it's not, Jesus, I'll help you build the church if it's convenient. Jesus, I'll help you build the church if I ain't got no problems. Jesus, I'll help you build your church if I'm not too busy. Woo, you better never get too busy to build the church.
Amen.
I better never get too busy or allow too much stuff to come between me helping him to build his church. Now, I'm not just talking about this assembly. I'm talking about getting new building material out there. The lost are building material for the church. Then you come over in here, those that are already in the church, in the assembly, they need to be built up according to Scripture. Do you realize that's why they kept going? Paul would start a church at one place, he would put ministers over it and all that. He would go to another place and he would make his rounds and he would come back there. Why? He's coming back there to make sure they're okay and to help build them a little bit more. He's coming in there, he's looking for termites. One place he told them, he said, there's sexual impurity among you. Y'all don't remember that?
Yeah.
Another place he talked to them about a brother, go to him, excommunicate him from the church. We don't hear much about that today. God forbid we had to excommunicate somebody from the church like they did in Bible days. We would just be blasted. Now, y'all are not loving people. You're a liar. Sometimes you have to be rough because you love people.
Right.
So you can't have just one or two out of a whole congregation that they just take over things. Why? Because you got everybody else that are sitting out there that you're supposed to be loving too. And God loves us all.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about us being a family. In a proper family, you have what? You have a father. You have a mother, not two fathers, not two mothers. You have a father, you have a mother, and you have children. The same way, according to Scripture, that a family operates is how a church is supposed to operate, right? The Bible says Jesus is the head of the church. You go over there to Ephesians, and that's what, let's turn over there since we're right here. Where's that at? I'm trying to think. It's 5, ain't it? Right here, 21. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, that's in a family. That's between a husband and wife, and that's what this whole analogy he's talking about here. So therefore, if Jesus is the head of the church assembly, the church assembly is supposed to be submitting to Jesus, right? Just as, he says, as a wife is supposed to be submitting to her husband as unto the Lord. Why? Because if I don't submit to my husband, I'm not submitted to the Lord. Whew. That is said a lot. And most of the time you say something like that and you can just feel it. I submit to the Lord, but I don't submit to no man. My husband's dumb as dirt. If you think for one minute I'm going to do what he tells me to do, you got another thing coming. Well, then you're not submitted to Jesus, honey. I didn't write the Bible. And I'm a woman and got to say all this stuff. Now, my husband makes it very easy most of the time for me to submit to him. Because submission is when I don't agree with him. When I don't want to do it. When I don't feel like doing it, when I don't think it's the right thing. Now, I'm not talking about scripturally ungodliness. I don't submit to that. But because he's the head, I have to submit to him if I'm going to be in line with the Lord. The church has to submit to Jesus if you're going to be in line with him. Well, most of the time my husband makes it very easy. There's just been a few times since we've been saved that he just absolutely said, no, you're not. And if you know anything about me, when I hear that, no, you're not, makes my hair stand up. I don't know who you think you are. But see, that's in my flesh. And that takes a period of time sometimes to get dealt with. There was one time, I'm thinking right now, of a story. He had some family that they had a big thing about going to bingo. Now I'm saved. I've lost all my friends if I ever had any. The last one I had come over, and I said, do you ever think about God? She said no and left, and I never seen her again. So a lot of times you get saved, you don't have to separate yourself. They do it. But anyway, you had family that was going to bingo, and I don't got no friends, you know, and they kept inviting me to go with them, you know. I don't know what all they was doing, but playing bingo, you know. You go out there and you just play bingo. Well, kept inviting me to go and hang out with them and all that, and I mean, it is his family, you know, so if I do anything wrong, I'm sure they'll tell him, you know, so what's the problem? Well, some of them developed a problem. The next thing you know, they're going to Mississippi. Then the next thing you know, they're drinking. Then the next thing you know, one of them has got a boyfriend and divorced her husband. Now, I didn't know necessarily all that was going to lead into that. But I told him, I said, I'm going to go with so-and-so to bingo. And he said, no, you're not. And I said, yeah. I said, I mean, I'm not gambling or nothing. I just want to go hang out, be friends, you know, and that's what they do or whatever. He said, I'm telling you right now, you're not going, and if you do, go on and pack your bags. Woo! I'm telling you, something hit me in the top of my head. Needless to say, I did not go to bingo. Now, he can't stop me from going to bingo. I'm bigger than he is. And where there's a will, there's a way, right? So I submitted, and I did not go. Did I want to go? Yes, I wanted to go. I didn't have any, I mean, the only interaction I had was with him and Travis pretty much because I didn't see nobody else. I lived a very isolated life or whatever, so that was a desire, you know, and I didn't see anything wrong with it. But because I have no idea what he possibly saved me from and what I possibly saved me from on down the road, who's to say I would have not ended up in the same shape they did? I don't know. But therefore, by my submission unto what he said to me, to not go, or whatever. I don't know what I might have avoided. But I know I stayed right with my husband, and I stayed right with the Lord.
Right.
And there's a blessing on that.
Right.
Now, what are we off on that for? Oh, yeah. I know what. Let's finish reading here. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, notice this. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So the church should be in submission to the Lord. Well, I got hurt over there at that church, and I don't want to go back. So what? Does that change what this says? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, he sets us in the church and in the body as it pleases who?
Him.
Not pleases me. So therefore, I am supposed to be in the assembly of wherever he tells me. Now, do people really get hurt sometimes? Absolutely. Why? Because not everybody's perfect. We're all on different levels. We have different levels of maturity. We have different levels of yielding. And there are no perfect. I hurt a lot of people's feelings a lot of times just by the way I talk. I can't figure that out, but that's what they say. Well, I'm sorry. I would never hurt your feelings on purpose. So just therefore, go ahead, get over it, and deal with it. And if I find out I hurt your feelings, I will let you know I'm sorry. I never meant to. Do you understand that's what you got to do? And there are some people, they intentionally hurt other people. Does that change the will of God for you and what you're supposed to do? No. If you're going to be in compliance and obedience, you're going to have to forgive and stay wherever he put you. It's called growing up in him. But most of us don't want to do none of that. Why? It's painful. It's embarrassing, it's humbling, it's painful, and the flesh just don't want to.
Right.
But that don't change the word. And you don't realize it, or I don't realize it, if I'm doing all that, I'm actually not helping Jesus build the church, and I am hurting myself and others. He goes on and he says, For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Scotty was the Savior of me that day. Even though he don't like to tell me no. I can tell him, okay, look, I got to tighten up. I can't be eating that no more, and I can't be doing that more, and I got to exercise. You know what the man will do? I'll be sitting over there, and I have a craving. Now, I don't eat much sweets anymore. This is used to. But he'll still do it if I ever, ever say anything about it. I could eat a box of donuts. You know what he does? He sits up on the edge of the couch, and he says, you want me to go get you some donuts? And I say, no, Scotty, I was just saying that. You're supposed to be helping me. Well, I don't want you doing nothing without nothing you want. And I'm like, you're not loving me. Help me deny myself. Don't feed it to me. But that's painful for him. He can't. He has a problem with that. Where me, if you're fat and you want to change, I'm going to help you. I'm not going to tell you I'm going to get you some donuts. But notice what he says. Christ is the Savior of the body. That's what the husband is supposed to be if he's doing his job right to the wife. He goes on here and he says, therefore, as the church is subject, that means in submission, unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands, he says, in everything. Husbands, love your wives. So the wife submits, the husband loves. Even as Christ also loved the church. Notice this. This is how I can say how he died for it. And gave himself for it. There couldn't be a church without it. He goes on and he says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That this is what the husband does. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. Notice, even as the Lord, the church. He nourishes and he cherishes the church. So what will we need to be doing? Nourishing and cherishing the church, which is what? All of us. Then we have other members of the family that are another part of the assembly. But our main one is right here. If we can't take care of right here, we sure can't take care of out there. If we can't treat each other like we're supposed to in here, we sure can't over at another assembly treat them the way we're supposed to. The Bible says, even if a man, if he desires to be a bishop or an overseer in any way, what's one of the first qualifications of him? If he can't take care of his own little house with his wife and his 1, 2, 3, 5, 10 kids, how are you going to take care of all that God sends in the assembly to the church? He says, if you can't do that, man, you disqualify. Why? Because it is so closely, as a husband and a wife and a family, it operates the same way. The church is run the same way. God puts overseers in the church. Just like whenever, that's one of the things Paul was doing with Timothy. He was a young pastor. He put him as a pastor over a church. Why? Paul can't stay with all these churches that he's making. Or setting up and all this stuff. Why? In one place, Peter, Jesus ascended to heaven. He preached in one place, and 3,000 in one sermon got born again. No way Peter can see over all of these people. Right. So he's got to have help. And that's where everybody else comes in. You grow, you develop, you find out what God has called you to be or told you to be. You're where he's supposed to, you're supposed to be and all of that, right? And then he tells you, I want you to do this. God, I don't want to move to Kenya. Disqualified yourself to do anything. If you're not willing to do everything, then you're disqualified from doing anything. You find that a lot today. You find that a lot. Because a lot of times, people are either in the ditch on one side or the other. They don't want to do anything. They're too busy, don't want the responsibility, they're too shy. Well, all that's probably because you're looking at you and not him. Or, I'm better than that. Nobody's going to know I'm doing that. Nobody's going to see my gifts. Well, we don't want to see your gifts if you can't clean the toilet. And God wants you to clean the toilet because your gift ain't perfected enough yet to help nobody.
Amen.
Because do you realize as many people as you can help, that's exactly how many you can hurt.
Amen.
Now, let's finish reading this. I got somewhere I want to go. This went a totally different direction. What I thought. 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Then you go on down, and what's it say about children? Children be in obedience to the parents. In the church setting. Well, before I say that, let's go over here too. Let me find it. This is on the second page, and I didn't do the first page yet. 1 Corinthians 4. I want you to say something. We're going to start reading in verse 14. Now, the things up above this, just to put it in a little bit context, what's going on here is these people come in and they're talking bad about Paul and his ministry and all this other stuff. And then he starts telling them, you know, all this stuff. I go hungry at times and different things for your sake and all this stuff. And we're going to pick it up in 14. He says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons. Notice that word. I warn you. Paul was not a married man and he had no children physically. He says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you got T.D. Jakes, you got Jensen Franklin, you got Tony Evans, you got Juanita Bynum, you got Joyce Myers, right? Yet have you not many what?
Fathers.
Now I know Jesus himself said, call no man on earth father. We do have some denominations that it's father so-and-so and father so-and-so, and that's not scripturally correct. He says, for you yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. And then he goes on and says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son. No, he's not. He don't have any physical kids. He is his spiritual son. He goes on and says, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. But notice what he said. He's writing to the Corinthians here. He says, I'm like a father to you. You may have a lot of instructors, he says, but because I have begotten you in the gospel, I am like a father to you. And they did not call him Father Paul.
Right?
They called him Apostle Paul, or just Brother Paul. But he's the one that he says, I'm like a father to you. There is supposed to be fathers and mothers in the church assemblies. What do fathers and mothers do, according to Scripture? They train up children. They nourish children. They correct. Right? Come on now.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear nothing about that second one, that third word right there. Nourish me and love me, but don't correct me. I can't do one without the other. And in this house, me and Scotty is like the father and mother of this house. Why? I didn't want it. I didn't choose it. God chose it. For us, that is why we are the way we are about Brother Brett. To be scriptural. Now, he didn't begot me in the gospel because I didn't get saved under his ministry. I got saved through watching TBN at my mother-in-law's house all by myself. Scotty got saved at the house that we lived at. But then God sent us up there. He got saved 2 weeks later. I got saved and we started going up there. I told him, I said, okay, I'll go to church with you if you'll go up there where Sandy goes. Now, he's got family. He's got brothers and different ones that they have their pastor and their church. And they even come and told us one time, oh, we need you over here. Are you kidding me? Don't ever tell somebody that. They're not supposed to go because you need somebody. Don't ever tell. My sister and brother-in-law and everybody, Jeffrey's mom and dad and all that, you know, they wouldn't say, you know, and we go pick up the boys and bring them to church, you know, and all that stuff. And they didn't come to church, but we picked the boys up for years. We did that. And later on, they got saved. And they started going to church, you know, and they've been to several. But anyway, to make a long story short, they started going to a certain place a few years ago and everything. Now, I had heard other people say, I believe they should be where you are. What makes you believe that? Now, listen to me. Just if somebody's not growing, don't automatically think it's the church's fault. I've been to some of the churches that some people go to that are not growing. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, hey, that's what I believe. Hey, that's what I teach. How come then? You have to do it yourself. Preacher can't do it for you. But anyway, they had got out for a little while and they're back now. I never one time went and told her, you need to come over here. That's not my job. Everybody has to find their place and get in it and stay in it until the Lord moves you. But anyway, that's why we feel the way we do about Brother Brad. God sent us up there. God chose him and that part of the church body assembly to raise us. God, number one, working through his people and his ministers, right? So therefore, we look at him as a father in the natural. We look at him as Travis is his spiritual grandson. We look at him that Aubrey and Aiden is his spiritual great-grandchildren. Why? Because God uses the words and interweaves them so closely with the husband, the wife, the children, and the church. It is the same. It's supposed to be the same way as you see in the natural. It is in the spirit. And Brother Brad, he feels the same way. He said it before. He sees us as his children. He sees Travis as his grandson. And he sees Aubrey and Aiden as his grandchildren. Now, Beth, you're somewhere in that, you know. I don't know where, but anyway, you're somewhere in that. So therefore, we honor him. Whether he's honorable or not, ain't got nothing to do with it. Who I honor says something about me. I can honor the most disrespectful, most dishonorable person on the earth. Right. If I choose to. Won't be easy, but if I choose to. So therefore, the world has a saying, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Why would I ever disconnect myself from Brother Brad and Faith Restoration, the ones that God used to raise me, that said that he is like a, that Paul said that he's like a, I'm like a father to you. You're stupid if you do. But yet there's people doing it every day. Especially if somebody brings a little bit of correction or a little bit of something they disagree with. Brother Brad always told us, he said, even if somebody has a little bit of something wrong, you know, that you don't quite agree with or whatever, he'd say, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. What's that mean? You sure don't want to throw out the baby. Let the water out and keep the baby. Surely, wouldn't we? We have to do the same thing in the church, and I've got to stop because our time is up. We're going to get into a lot of stuff. And it's good to me. Does anybody have anything?